Head on about. Gemara talks about the idea of Shnai Mikra Bechatarlo, right? And Gemara says that Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Amar Rav Ami Olam Yashlam Adam Pashiyot and Matziba Shnai Mikra Bechatarlo Bafilu. Then we have different versions. Exactly what a few lots of road from by Tarot, Shkomash Mash Mesibor, Marichal Yam Shota. Okay, then what I was going to discuss details of this in terms of the time frame for doing it. We're going to focus on the first half of the Sugya. Rashi says that. Yashlim Parshiotav, Shalkol Shabbat Shabbat, right? A few Atrov Divon, Sheim Bo Targum. Sheim Bo Targum. By contrast, the Rosh, let's turn to the Rosh. So the Rosh has a discussion of this. And, okay. Siman Chet, Amar Rav Huna, Bereid Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Menachem, Amar Ami, etc. Olam Yashem Adam Pashot, Yom HaTzibor, Shai Mekhrat HaTar, Afilu HaTorah B'Divam, Olam Yashem Pashot, etc. Yukasha, Dehari Matzim, Meimar, Afilu Ruvay Mishamon, Yukayosi Behem, Venira Denakat HaTorah B'Divam, Lefi Shiyesh Sfarim Shekhtov Em Targum, Vidam Yerushalmi Hu Mitorgam. Okay. So first of all, there are various versions of the Targum, and some we do have Targum for that, and there's also Targum in Yerushalmi. You don't have, and it's true, we don't have a standard Targum, we don't have the standard Targum, at least in all versions, but one can find a Targum here. Okay? So, Lach Pirusha, Hatanaka Atrov Tibon, Afapisha, Ein, Tzara Kolkat, the Targum. About Reuben and Shimon, Yotze Behem Ein Tzarach L'Krot Shalosh Panim. Okay, so he says you don't have to read. There's the chiddush is that here there is an element of Targum and that there exists. And it's not, and it's, even though it's not so in need of Targum, right? Because the so-called soft names. And therefore, one could argue that you don't have to be mitargen here at all, as is in fact the case. And it's not just a havdin; that's in fact the case by Reuven Mishimon. But here we say that that there is a need to be mitargen.
What's the case?
By things like Reuven Mishimon, and it's just names that where there is no targum at all. So there you. There he says you do not have to read it a third time. Okay, it's a very interesting question. Now the fact that what he's saying in effect is the fact that many targumim do not have a targum is a reflection of the fact that it's not so in need of a targum. Right, the fact that there exists some means that there isn't the possibility of some of those. Basically, the Gemara is saying that if there's room for a Targum, yes, and if not, not. Okay, this is what the Rosh says. Rosh continues and says that Mikomakom Nagu Lahachmir Kaparish Rashi, and what does it mean Lahachmir Kaparish Rashi? What's Parish Rashi?
Should we have
been in Shimon three times? Right, and that in that Rashi is saying there's no Targum at all, and still he has to be a Targum, meaning that you read it a third time. So, Yesh Mepharshim, Dehuat and Lachol, Haloazo, Lash, Shalahem, Havikmo, Atargum, Kia, Atargum, Bishvil, Ameharish, Enam Yadim, Lashana Kodesh, Vimkin, Huat and Laz, Makirbo, Flunahiro, the Fisha Targum, Mepharsh, Kamazvarim, Shain Lahavim, Mitoch and Mikra, Amar of Yosef, Amal Tugum, the Haikra, etc. Right? Vinir Shakori, Vipirish, Hatora, I mean Rashi, Yotzebo, Yde Targum, Kimish, Mishamifurash, Okay. So the Rosh says two things here, right? Rosh says two things here, which are very interesting about Targum. One is that you don't have to read those psukim that don't have a Targum, you don't have to read them a third time. And number two, that you yotze Targum with a perush. If it's an adequate perush, you yotze with a perush. Okay? We'll discuss what's an adequate perush, but if it meets certain criteria, so then you yotze with a perush. And those two chidushim are interrelated, right? They're interrelated. Do you want to explain why they're interrelated?
Because, in other words, that the first time you see things that you don't understand, you
wouldn't
understand on your own.
Okay, so in other words, there are two ways that you can understand Shnayim Mikra basically. And the Rosh has two nafkaminas, right? One way of understanding it is that basically it's a question of reading the text three times. However, the third time, right, we read in a different language to the degree that exists. But primarily, it's a third reading through of the text. It is to go through the text three times. But the third time with the added advantage of, more understanding. But fundamentally, the issue of the third time through is going through the text the third time. Okay? That's how Rashi seems to understand it. The Rosh, by contrast, learns that there's two of Mikra, and the third is a question of commentary, of understanding, of deepening understanding. It's not a question of reviewing the content of the text at all. It's something supplemental to the text, right? And therefore, number one, it's only going to be applicable where the Targum adds something, right? With the possibility of the Targum adding something. If it adds nothing, there's no chiyuv, unlike what it seems to be from Rashi. And number two, a perush is going to be the equivalent, right? It's going to be the equivalent of the Targum, which is certainly not the case according to the first understanding. Okay, and as people correctly noted, the irony in this is, of course, that it would follow from the Perush of Rashi that the Perush of Rashi would not be good for Shnayim Mikra HaTargum, whereas according to those who disagree with Rashi Dafka, it would be a fine way of being kind, which is at the very least interesting, significant, certainly interesting. It certainly might be of interest, at least in understanding what Rashi's goal was in writing his parish, nothing else. In any case, what was and wasn't. So, in any case, be that as it may, it's just an interesting point, but that's not really why I did it, that's just something that flows from it. But I do think that we have two different perspectives on what Shnayim Mikra Targum is, and certainly affects a number of things. What I want to focus on is the Shita of Rabban, the famous Shita of Rabban, where the Rabban has a very interesting Chiddush, and certainly a Chiddush, it's not the only one to hold from, but certainly a thing. So it seems to be a minority opinion. Ravan says, "La'olam yashan adam parshiyotav imat tzibor shnayim mikra v'chatargum." Really revolves around the question of what yashlo means, right? The question is really what it means to be mashlim here, right? Mashlim is the point to complete. Does this mean complete one's learning of the parshiyot? And, Yashlim Adam Parshiyotav Ima Tzibor means that there's a parallel course of study that a person individually engages in parallel to, alongside the Tzibor. Or does it mean, no, that you should be Mashlim that which you are lacking, right, that which you did not get from the Tzibor, right, from the going through the Parshiyot of the Tzibor. So Ravan says, the second approach, nearly to be yachid, hadar b'krach ma'ir, she'en lo asar l'krok b'torah, she'tzarach l'chavein ha'sha'a she'korin ha'tzibur p'asha b'et ha'kneset, v'yikraj ha'hu v'yachid sh'nai mikra k'neged sh'nai m'akor b'et ha'kneset, v'yachatar b'nei ha'mtagim b'et ha'kneset, she'kein ha'yad min ha'gam, k'ditna ha'kori b'torah lo yifchot likra pacham gimel psukim halayikam targem yotmi pasayacha. The im kemosh pirshu rabotai the bekriat haparsha b'boker shabbat ma'ir kemosh an rikilim lemal olam yikra adam parsha b'shabbat shai mikra b'chule imat zibor lamalei elavadai imat zibor mamish kidiprisha v'od shai mikra b'chule lamalei halu yishu bed kness v'yitzu dech v'atan v'afal pikein. That's in principle, but nonetheless l'mayis af pikein min agenu min agamur. In other words, the Ravan says that he believes, and it's a very interesting compromise that the Ravan makes, right? And in a certain sense, you know, a very Balayatosa type of approach. And he says, the minhag that we do is correct, even though he doesn't accept it as Pshat and Gemara. Right? In other words, this is not what the Gemara is talking about. Yes, it's Pshat and Gemara, and he thinks this is what's going on in the Gemara, that Shai Mikra Becha Targum is not, as what the Gemara is talking about is not what we do, unless what we do is valid, and it has, there's a good reason for doing it, but it's a minhag that is, you know, that concerns itself with a real issue, but that's not what the Gemara is talking about. Interesting. So, you know, the Ravan basically says, in principle, if you hear the Kriyat HaTorah, so you don't have to do Shai Mikra Targum. However, it's a good idea to do it anyhow, right? But not mitzad halacha. And okay, that's how he explains things. Leaving aside for a moment the comment of about minhagin, about who became minhagin and minhagam. Forget about the detail of the minhag, right? Before we get to that, just in terms of the way the Ravan explains the Gemara itself, okay? Now we know that the Ravan says a chiddush. Clearly a chiddush. The reason that's a chiddush is because the Ravan is clearly holding like, who does the Ravan have to hold on? You know the answer to this. Okay, so he has to hold on Rabbi Mishoma, right? He has to hold on Rabbi Mishoma. That's, so, if for no other reason, what the Ravan is saying is a chiddush, because what Rabbi Mishoma says is a chiddush, that many Mishoms, which are Rabbi Tamba, but many Mishoms do not accept this approach of Rabbi Mishoma, right? Certainly is not it. You have a very powerful kash from the Gemara, which as Hashem will, you know, discuss, but I said that's certainly a chiddush to say this. And it's also not the way that many understand the Gemara. Most do not understand what the Gemara is talking about in this say. So I ask you a simple question. Leaving aside his comment about minhag, because we'll leave that out of the equation just for purposes of analysis for a moment, okay? I'm getting in terms of, you know, halacha, just in terms of our understanding the shita and what it entails, is the basic shita of the Ravan, okay? Were we not to concern ourselves with the minhag, okay? Is this a kula or a chum?
A kula.
Okay, so on one level,
what happens according to everyone else, what do you do if you miss Torah reading?
Do
anything.
According to everyone else, even if you didn't miss Torah reading.
It's just like no matter what, you always do.
So you say that the Ravan has this huge kula, I mean, inside the middle, it's huge kula, that really is not chiyuv of, under normal circumstances, not chiyuv of Shai Mikra Becha Targum. And mitzad echad, that's true. Mitzad sheni, it's not that simple. There's an element of chumra in the Ravan as well. There is an assumption the Ravan makes here that is a large chumra that, as far as I count, and there are others who would agree with me, although there's certainly others who would disagree, and I didn't do a thorough count, but what I've seen and, you know, taken note of, it seems to me that the Ravan here reflects a minority opinion in the other direction as well. Yeah.
Isn't that that every individual is Chayav Hira Kriyat Torah?
1000%, right? There's an assumption here that Zachiya of hearing Kriyat Torah, which is a huge chumrah, okay? A chumrah that I think the vast majority of, you know, if you look at the Torah and the Beis Yosef, you look at most of the sheets up there, overwhelmingly, that's not the assumption, okay? Now, I know that Soloveitchik and Sal and Moshe and Sal both assumed that, as far as I know, from what I've heard, that they felt that there was a chiyuv on Yachid to hear Kriyat Torah. Okay. However, you know, for years and years, it's always a surprise that when you look, the one majority did not say that, in several different contexts, you have different Rishonim discuss different sugya, and that's not what they seem to say. I'm not saying you don't find anyone says it, and Doc, I'm pointing out, you know, I want to knock it from to point out, the Rabban, I think, does hold that, right? But I think that that's a Shitat Yafa, not one, I mean, yeah, but it's a minority opinion, not a majority opinion. And I just want to mention one thing that, in terms of that. Oh, and so for years and years, I looked at it, and then in one of the more recent, not the most recent, well, I don't know, maybe it's six, I don't remember anymore, but in a more recent volume, as opposed to like the first few, of Yabia Omer, I saw that there's a discussion of this also, about how majority of, of Rishon do not say this way. It's not said of the Ravan. The truth of the matter is that, you know, the very famous situation, like when you go from Eretz Yisrael to Marriott, whatever, if you miss a parsha, you know, trying to make it up the point is that American Israel, there's a difference in which parsha you're reading,
oh,
right?
Yes.
Sometimes, yeah, right? And the double parsha, because of the difference with the, yes, Yom Tov Shnei Shogaliot, right? So here you'll have separate parsha, because there are less, you miss fewer times when it's going to be, you know, Shabbos Yom Tov, and you don't read the parsha. So let's say, you know, that you're going between one or the other, you miss a parsha. So that's what they mean, where they read, you know, an extra parsha or something like that. Mincha will read the next parsha, something like that. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, leave aside Tirfah Zippur issues, which I find a little bit difficult to say, but because one person is going and they feel that they have a fear, so therefore the whole Zippur is, you know, read an extra parsha, whatever. Anyhow, that's what's discussed, but aside from that, it's very interesting. You know, the sefer, as far as I know, the sefer of in terms of Hilchot Kriyat HaTorah is the Sha'ar Ephraim. If you look at the Sha'ar Ephraim, he says the following. He doesn't talk about traveling between America and Israel by airplane. He says,
is it like an Achron?
Yeah, an Achron, not a contemporary Achron. And but it's the sefer that, you know, that the standard sefer in terms of Hilchot Kriyat HaTorah, in relation to Kriyat HaTorah. And he was before, as far as I know, well before airplane travel of any kind, let alone, you know, between here and America. But he didn't talk about this case, but he talks about another case which I think is very, very relevant to this whole discussion. He says that if you have a situation where a particular minyan, a particular shul didn't have Kriyat HaTorah on Shabbos, okay, because of some inability to read the Torah, let's say didn't have Baal Kor, didn't have anyone who could read, actually couldn't read it all, or there's a psul in the same time, something that they actually weren't able to have Kriyat HaTorah that week. The next week they should read both parsha. Okay? They read last week's parsha, and they read that week's parsha. That's what the Shai Ephraim says. Okay? Not such a big question. But then he goes on and says like this, however, let's say, you know, you have a small community and summertime and people are away, you know, this happens. You only get 7 people. There isn't a minion that shops. So they don't have a minion. The next week you don't make up the parsha.
Because we're on the seaboard.
Right? In the first case, we had that seaboard, it was Mechudim, we had that Torah, and they didn't discharge enough people, so they had to make up the next week. But in the second case, they weren't Mechudim in the first place because 7 individuals are not Mechudim in Kriyat HaTorah, and therefore, you don't have Kriyat HaTorah the next week. Pashut is that that's very clearly based on the idea that, according to most Rishonim, there's not a chiyuv on individuals here at Kriyat HaTorah, right? In other words, certainly, if you're mechuyav to make up Kriyat HaTorah because you're going to be in Israel and they're going to be reading a different parsha, right? Then certainly you're chayav to, if you were in America and it was that week's parsha and you just weren't able to find a minyan, right? Very clear kamachomer. And yet the Shari Ephraim says very clearly that in that case where you had, you know, wrote tzibur, but they didn't have a tzibur, they didn't have a minyan. So they weren't mechuyav in Kriyat HaTorah. Right? So if we're a chiyuv al-yachad, I don't think that we would say that. It would be the same as where in the case where you didn't have a sefer Torah, but it's not the same. So in any case, so I was pointing out that I think that much as I personally believe that the majority of major shita is on the side of Kriyat HaTorah being a chiyuv on the tzibur and not being a chiyuv on the yachad, okay? But I want to point out that the Ravan belongs to the other kid. Okay, to be honest about it. Okay. So I just wanted to Agav point out that aspect of the Ravan. And in that respect, the Ravan is a chum, not cool. So like many things, it's a double-edged sword. Okay, the Seder. So we continue with Rabbeinu Shmuel, because the Ravan, right, clearly is assuming, as does Rabbeinu Shlom in the Ravan, it's implicit in Rabbeinu Shlom, perhaps, if anything, even clearer, right, that originally, at the time of Chazal, they would have 2 people reading from the Torah. Right, simultaneously, which is amazing because in Megillah Chafav Bet it says Tana Mashein came b'Torah, right? Tana Rabana b'Torah Echad Kori v'Echad Metargim v'Vachli Hei Echad Kori u'Shnayim Metargim. So you can't even have 2 people doing Targum when it comes to Torahs. Certainly, you can't have 2 people being Kori. That's Beferish. Right? It says that by Megillah you can have 2 Korim, but you can't do that by that's all. Yeah.
Why, just
where
everyone reads, like
from
Megillah, are you allowed to have 2
Korim
and it's not
Trey Kalim? Right, so the Gemara discusses why it's not Trey Kalim. The Gemara says that because it's Chaviv, so people pay careful attention and they'll hear it even though it's Trey Kalim.
Okay,
which raises all kinds of other questions, but that's not our. Okay, so the Gemara says that by Kriyat HaTorah, right? Kriyat HaTorah is you can't have 2 Korim. So Tosfot says that Perish Shein Korim Le'Avan Mikan Kasha Mashpirish Rebbeinu Mishlom B'Perik Kamed Bavatra V'Komitz Rava. Right? The Shmona Pesukim Shebetorah, the last 8 Pesukim Chumash. Yachid Kari Otan, right? And there are many different interpretations of what Yachid Kari Otan means. Many interpretations. But Rabbeinu Meshulam says, Perish Yachid Kari Otan, Shalo Yikrash Le'ot Tzibur Imo, Beparashah Ve'al Moshe, Kishavod Min Torah, Bekasha, Sharei B'mehem, Lo Hayashach Tzibur Kari Imaim, Kida Amra Hacha, Ve'achshav Nami Lo Yitkinu, Ela Shalo Levayish Misha In Yodea Likro, Chach Nirek Mosh Birish Rashi, etc. Okay. Similarly, Tosfos about Asra, Shmona Pesukim Shebe Torah, Rabbeinu Shlom, Hey Matzrach, Mikan Likrot, Le'echad, Otan Shmona Pesukim Shol Yikra Imo Shliach Tzibor Vein Yer Oler Ben Otan Da Kol Atar Kula Nami Yachad Kore Kitzan Megillah Karu Shnayim Yatsu Vam Bigmar Otan Masha Ein Kein Betara Vomer Ben Otan Yachad Kore Vlo Hasaka etc. Okay. Then Rabbi Atam goes on to say, we should continue a little bit. Umashenoagim, third line, near the third line. Umashenoagim ata likro shnayim b'chol haTorah. Om Rabbi Atam, kidei shol yibayish misha in yodei likro b'atzmo. Ki'inyan shematzinu b'masach ha'bikurim. This time, call me Shodei Likro Kori, Ma'atzmo, Shem Yodei Likro, Ma'akum Lefanav, Nimnum Lahavi, Bikur, Hitkinu Shu, Ma'akum Misha Yodei Likro, and Misha Yodei Likro. Okay, so. Rabbi Tam says it can't be that they had two people reading, right? Because the Mara says that, the Brach says that you can't have two people reading simultaneously in the Torah. So, Rabbi Moshom's chat is not viable. That's exactly what we do. But that's not, that's only Kadesh Shalom, Levi, Shemish, and Baki. So, and how does that help?
How
does the fact that we only do a Kadesh Shalom, Levi, and it's a later type, so how does that help us with the problem of Masha Ein Kein B'Torah?
Well, because the guy saying Leah is quiet. I don't hear him.
The one who's getting out Leah is quiet. Okay. So, therefore?
So, the Tibor only hears.
I meant, it's not being clear at all. Let me try again. What I meant to say is, why does that work for a minute of time? Not for Rabbi Moshom. Why does that work for Rabbi Tam's later takana, and not work for Rabbi Moshom's, you know, original takana? Okay. In other words, Rabbi Tam says to Rabbi Moshom, "What are you crazy? What do you mean two people are reading? Don't you know the Gemara Megillah?" Right. So say. But we have two covers. No, you don't understand. That's okay because it's only Kadei Shalavayish, right? So I have two questions. Question number one is, why does Rabbi Tam say that's different because it's only Kadei Shalavayish? Why does Rabbi Tam say that's different because one of them reads quietly? Right? That's the issue. The issue is not why, the issue is what they're doing. And number two is, why can't Rabbi Moshom say the same thing for his practice as Rabbi Tam says for his? Why does Rabbi Tam think that there's no problem with what we do, but to say that that's what they did is suddenly problematic? Right?
Well, during the time that Rabbi Moshom
said
there was a takana, it was when the Aliyah people knew how to read.
Maybe, let's assume if you like. Assume whatever you like. As long as it solves those two problems, we'll assume whatever you like.
No, well, if that's the case, why, according to our definition, are there two people reading? Is it because it's the ideal situation, or is it because sometimes you didn't know how to read?
Good, it's because it's the ideal situation.
Right.
Presumably.
So, maybe they're not arguing about, maybe they're arguing about, is it the ideal situation, or is it just a later takana?
They are arguing about that, but what's the relevance of that? The thing is, why does Rabbeinu Tam feel that what we do, as what does Rabbeinu Moshom say, it's so terrible here. Rabbeinu Moshom says that they did exactly what we do. Right? So why does Rabbeinu Tam, feel that? But that's shalom kol ha'akav beis. What? It's okay that we're doing shalom kol ha'akav, but it wasn't okay if they were doing shalom. What exactly is the point?
It's not because the choir quiet and loud
thing? I'm not saying it's not, but number one, Rabbi Tam doesn't say anything about quiet and loud. Okay, I'm not saying therefore it's not true. I'm saying, but Ika Chasmina said, right? And then what he does, he talks about something entirely different. Okay, but the second thing is, okay, so it's a question of quiet and loud. To be honest, I think you're absolutely right. However, my question is, but why is Rabbi Tam, right? Why does that depend on Rabbi Tam or Rabbi Mishon? That's what I'm asking. I'm just trying to guess that I think at this point we just don't understand what Rabbi Tam is saying. We want us to understand what Rabbi Tam is saying. So I'm trying to clarify what it is we need to understand. We need to understand, so Rabbi Tam is coming along and saying, look, Rabbi Mishon, that doesn't work because it's straight color, right? And then Rabbi Tam has to turn around and say, but Lamaisa, we do that. He says, no, that's not a problem because it's only Kadesh Shabbat. So I'm just trying to understand why it's different when you're operating with Rabbi Mishon's understanding or Rabbi Tam's understanding. What changed? What's the difference, right? You know, Rabbi Tam can't say, I can use this answer, but you can't, right? There has to be a reason why.
Well, I thought Rabbi Mishon can't use that answer because that's not the reason why he thinks
that we do it. No, he can't say it's Kadesh Levayish. But Aviva is saying that the reason that there's not a problem, right, of Mash'ein Kim B'Torah, right, that you can't have two Korim B'Torah, but let Rabbi Tam ask the same kasha, he asked Rabbi Mishon. So he said, no, the reason that we don't have a problem is because the Oleh is going to read quietly, and the Baal Kor is going to read out loud. Okay? So I'm just saying, good, if that's an answer, and I think it is an answer, but so if that's what Rabbi Tam is relying on, so why is he bothered with Rabbi Mishon? Here Rabbi Mishon would say the same thing. But you can only say that I can use this answer, you can't, if it works for me and it doesn't work for you. Because we're making different assumptions. But if it could equally well work for you, so it's not fair that I'm going to say, I'll give you this answer, but you can't use it. Where are you?
In first Tosuk.
First Tosuk, yes, something to go, yeah.
Right. Here, where it starts with the Kasha, another line. Okay, the Kasha Shari Be'alehem Lo Hayashal Yatsi Lo Korei Lahem. I get what that means, but that's a rejection of Rabbi Yeshua because.
Rabbi Yeshua is saying like this, right? Let's look at the different points in history, okay? Bisman Chazal, the Gemara is saying that when it comes to these eight psukim, the last eight psukim of the Torah, there's a special halacha that Yachid Koriyotam. Okay? That is true for everyone. That's the Gemara. Okay. Question is, what does that mean, that Yachid Koriyotam? Rabbi Mishulam's interpretation of that is that as opposed to everything else, where you have an Ola and a Baal Kore, for the last eight psukim, you just have one person. Right? One person who reads it, period, you don't have a separate whole of it. Okay? Very nice. So you have one and not two. That means if the Gemara is telling us that there's this exception to the rule for the last eight psukim, it means that what normally was done be mayhem with the rest of the Torah. You had two, right? You had Ola, you had Baal Kor. Good. But we see from the Gemara Megillah, we see from the Braita already, right, that in the time of Chazal, they did not, because you're not Yotze like that, right? Now, of course, the question then becomes, if you're not Yotze like that, very nice, so they couldn't have done it then, why can we do it now, right? But again, what Rabbi Natan is arguing is, he's saying, you see from the Gemara Megillah that there, it says, you only have one Kore. So how can Rabbi Mishon say that that's only true of the last day? So when here's talking about the whole Torah, it says that you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. So is it like, like basically you're not allowed to, but then at some point you're like, oh, it was a Hashem Yifer Torah Tacha, and then they like said that you were, but like historically, since you originally weren't allowed to, so Rabbi Yishmael, the explanation of the Gemara can't be right.
I suppose it's possible. I mean, I don't think that's what Rambam is saying, but honestly, I don't think that's what he's saying. I don't know if I can prove to you that it's not what he's saying. It doesn't sound like that's what he's saying. I don't think that he's saying that the way that we do it, I don't think it's possible that he's saying the way that we do it is not okay. Remember, we're not talking about like, there's a problem with what we're going to do any other point is that you're not Yotzeh, right? So, it's a, I mean, it's a huge chiddush to say that our whole Kriyas HaTorah really doesn't work, but we don't have a better option, so we do, you know what I'm saying? That's huge, and I don't think that Rabbi Tam is saying that. I think he's saying something much more limited. And I think the language sounds like, but after, you know, I'm going to suggest something, you'll see if it fits better. And let's go back to the following question. What is the function of the Balkori and the Ola, okay, individually and vis-a-vis each other? Okay. From the perspective of Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, from the perspective of Rabbeinu Tam, what does he think the role of each is? Bizman HaGemara and Bizman HaZeh. According to him, according to Rabbeinu Shalom. Okay? So, let's just ask that okay, simple question and let's see how it plays out. Okay? Bizman HaZeh. Okay, Bizman HaZeh, the way Rabbeinu Tam presents it. Who is the person who Me'ikar Hadin should be reading the Torah?
The Ola.
Okay. And the Korei, what is his role?
Okay.
So in other words, he is basically the Shaliach of the Ola, right? In other words, the Ola is supposed to read, and the Korei reads on his behalf. Because he can't. So he does it for him. And maybe he can, but Shalalabai is so. So in principle, we have one Kore, right? In principle, we have one Kore, who's the Ola, but he has a microphone, right? He does it via the, he transmits through the Baal Kore, right? That's what's going on according to Rav Tam, according to the, in other words, Bizman HaZeh. Bizman HaGemara, says Rav Tam, yeah, the Ola, who did it directly. He didn't need a microphone, he did it himself fine. But says Rabbeinu Tam, according to Rabbeinu Sholam, that Me'ikara, right, the original Takana, is that you have a Kore and an Ola. Why do you have a Kore and an Ola? Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam assumes, and I don't want to go too far afield, but if you look, look at the Sugya Megillah and especially the Yerushalmi, you see that this is very clear, that Rabbeinu Tam, I think, correctly assumes that Rabbeinu Shalom is based on the idea, why would you have two in the Ikara? Because it's this idea that the Torah was Nitna on the day Sirsur, and that you have that Kriyat HaTorah, we are reenacting Mamar HaSinai, that's at least an aspect, not the whole of it, an aspect of what we have by Kriyat HaTorah, okay? And therefore, what do we say? That since we are reenacting Kriyat HaTorah, just like Mamar HaSinai, we have Hashem and we have Moshe, okay? So we have the Baal Kori and we have the Ola. But says Rabbeinu Tam, in that case, we have two Korim, right? So, in other words, the point there is that it's because, right, because Hashem spoke and Moshe spoke. And therefore, if that's what we're representing, Rabbeinu Tam assumes taking Rabbi Yehoshua Bishon to his logical conclusion, right? That how many people are going to be Kari out loud?
Two.
Two. But according to Rabbi Natan, even Bizman Hazeh, in principle we have one Kari, except that's being done by means of the Baal Kari. There's a Shaliah who does it on his behalf. So how many people are going to read out loud?
The Baal Kore is really the Shaliach of the Ola, then why the Ola?
Just
why
is that? Yeah, I'm saying.
Why the Ola still needs to read quietly? According to, if I have
to
read, I don't need
to
do anything.
Who said that the Ola has to read quietly? According to Rabbi Natan.
So that means that it's not, in other words, it's not only the Bakuri who's reading, the Ola is reading as well.
Where do you see that?
Well,
why do you say that? I'm not sure why you say that.
Because he says, Ashab Nami Lukikino, Elisha Lovayish Mishin, your daily quote.
Right.
So, in other words, Nami Lukikino what? Nami Lukikino that two people should read as well.
Says that you can't have two people read it.
You can't
have two people read it.
Didn't we read somewhere that he read the Nahat and then
the way it is, I mean, what we do, you have to realize, when we do it, we're taking into account that there's a Rabbeinu Tam, and there's a Rabbeinu Sholem, and there's a Rosh, who have three different explanations of what this process is about, right? And so to the Greek platform, we may try to accommodate as many of the Shita Rishonim as you can, but that doesn't mean that you can read one into the other. You know what I'm saying? In other words, what we do in Lamaisa as a Shara, right?
Yeah.
Or perhaps even following a different shita than Rabbi, whatever you want to say. But you can't prove from what we do.
No, I know.
I know you know that.
Right.
But
when
he
says, like,
Ba'achshav Nami Lohikinu,
Elishu
Lohikinu,
what? And I thought it was Lohikinu that two people should be koi.
Okay, but I don't think you have to say that.
What else could it be?
It's kinu.
The presence.
No, because, having an Ola and a Baal Kore. That which Rabbeinu Mishlom says that you have an Ola and a Baal Kore, right? So Rabbeinu Tam says that can't be, right? But this is, we do have an Ola and a Baal Kore. So Rabbeinu Tam says, yeah, we have an Ola and a Baal Kore, but that's just Kadesh Ola Levayich. But look, let me just finish the thought for a second, and let me explain to you what I think Rabbeinu Tam is saying. Rabbeinu Tam is saying like this. You, Rabbeinu Mishlom, are telling me that innately there are two Kore. And therefore, you're telling me that you have two people Kari. I'm telling you that's, you're not Yotze like that, right? But, I'm going to tell you that no, there's one Kore, but we have a later Takan. And that's why originally there was only one person, because really, the Ola is the Kore. There is no concept innately of two Kore, right? But, Bismazah, what we do is, instead of making the Ola be Kori himself, which may be Mevayesh, what we do is we have the Ola consistently be Kore by means of a Shaliach. And we're designated Baal Kore. Therefore, and then you can attack it for something to do the idea. Therefore, see, what I think we have here is, and then Rabbeinu Tam, what is that Rabbeinu Tam saying? Because he's saying, the whole point of what he says is, you're telling me that there's an Ola and Baal Kore. I'm telling you, no, the role of the Kore is not what you think it is, to be another Kore. The role of the Kore is to be the Shaliach of the Ola, because it's Kadesh Ola Mayesh. And since that's his role, I have no problem, because there's only going to be one person Kore. In other words, it all comes down to, why do you have two people? I know you have two people. The question is, what are those two people doing there? Is that in principle two people? Or is it really only that Lamaisa there are two people, but really in principle there's only one person? Babazi. Tell us without prior assumptions.
Okay.
And see what's there and what's not there. Does Tosa stay in play? I mean,
like, the way I usually read Tosa was like, oh, well, you're going to ask a question to me, but that's the way we do it in Shul. But the answer is no, because.
But I think you're reading into the, but that's what we, that's how we do it in Shul. You're reading in how they do it in your shul.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But Rabbi Natan is not necessarily, it's not necessarily how they read it in Rabbi Natan's shul, right? Or how Rabbi Natan would tell you to do it, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not a fair thing to.
So you're going to ask, like, I feel like it's not a question, like, if it's just, like, let's say the Ula was quiet, like, which is maybe what Rabbi Natan would require. In that case, why would Rabbi Nishalim say, oh, so like you're being hypocrite, because really we do have two people reading, we really don't have two people reading, we have one person reading, like.
Rabbi Nishalim doesn't say anything, Rabbi Natan.
No, why would Rabbi Natan be anticipating a question?
No, because Rabbi Natan, so I'll tell you exactly why. Rabbi Natan is saying like this, I'm telling you that the Takana of Chazal was to only have one person, and Olev was Kored. And that was the original Takana. So you'll, and Rabbi Mishul, you know, according to Rabbi, let me rephrase it, I want to say it as accurately as I can, okay, as clearly as I can. I'm going to start again. According to Rabbi Mishul, right, because the Gemara is telling us to have a Kore and an Ola, except for the last eight psukim of the Torah. That's what Rabbi Mishul holds. That Kriyat HaTorah means you have a Kore and you have an Ola. I'm sorry, you have an Ola and you have a Kore. Okay? Okay. You look at that, who we should have an Ola and a Kore. That's the original, that's the halacha of Kriyat HaTorah. Rabbi Natan says, nonsense. Kriyat HaTorah is you have one person who is the Ola and the Kore. Again, I'm only speaking about Gemara, Halacha, Beseder.
Can I ask a question about, because we're saying that, oh, well, Rabbi Mishalom says you have an Olin and a Kore, but I think Rabbi Mishalom says you have two Olin who are each Korin. Right? Isn't that what it really is?
Beseder.
So it's not like, in other words, so if you were to ask Rabbi Mishalom, like, well, you don't like what I'm saying, but in your shoulders, an Olin and a Kore. So yeah, that's different because one is an
Ola and one is a Kore. Beseder, but I don't think that Rabbi Natan is trying to defend himself against a raya for Rabbi Mishulam. You know, we accept everything you're saying, but that's not the point of what Rabbi Natan is doing here in the second stage. What Rabbi Natan is doing, I think, is the following. He's saying like this. If Rabbi Mishulam is right, there should be a Kore and there should be an Ola. Okay? Again.
I would think there would be two Kore.
The Seder. But that's not the point. The point is that that according to Rabbi Mishulam, right, I understand that there's a Kore and Ola. Now maybe they should both be Kore, fine, the Seder. That's.
Or they should both be Ola, like
fine. The Seder. But there's supposed to be two people there for Kriyat Torah. According to Rabbi Natan, though, right, the halacha is that you have one person, period. Right? So Rabbi Natan says, wonderful, so I maintain this one person, and I can explain to you that Shmona Pesukim Shabbat Torah Yachin Koryotam means something else, right? That means that one person reads all eight and not, four and four, the Seder. And that's beautiful with the Gemara and Megillah Daf Chaf Aleph. But you'll ask me, Rabbi Tam, what's that other guy doing there? What do you mean there's only one? Very nice, you read all the Gemaras, you tell me that there's one person, and he's Kori, he's Olaf. How come we have two people? What's that? That proves Rabbi Mishlomo, it doesn't prove Rabbi Mishlomo, that's not the point. But if you say it like Rabbi Tam, then the question has to be asked, what are we doing with a Kori and an Olaf? And Rabbi Tam says, I'll explain to you what's going on with it. And it was, this is lav dafka right to Rabbi Mishlomo. If you like, you can say it is. If you like, say it isn't. You know, and that's a debatable area. But what's clear is that if once you say like Rabbi Tam, you want to know, what are we doing? Right? So Rabbi Tam is saying, I'll explain to you what's going on with our minhag. Right? In other words, once Rabbi Tam explains the halacha the way he does, then we don't understand what the minhag is. So Rabbi Tam has come along saying, I'll explain to you that which we do, right? I'll explain to you why we do it, and I'll explain to you why it doesn't run afoul of the halacha the way I explained it to you. I'll explain to you how everything works. The answer is that we have two people because it's Kadesh Olavayish. And Mela, we understand that it's Kadesh Olavayish, I only have one COVID. So I don't have a problem. In other words, I can explain to you why we have the minhag. And the way I'm explaining you to the minhag does not run into the problem that I have with Rabbeinu Mishlomo, which sounds, at first glance, it's similar because we have two people. But no, it's very different because Rabbeinu Mishlomo is telling me that I have two people who are covering. And I'm telling you, no, this one person who's covering, the other person is just the, is the, you know, but he's going to do it by means of the other, so really he's not going to be. Now, yeah.
Could Rabbi
Mishlomo
explain Megillah in any way according to his opinion?
Let me say it differently. I don't think that Rabbi Mishlomo reinterprets the halacha of Echad Kore, you know, Nashan, you know, Mashen Kimitar. I don't think that he touches Mashen Kimitar.
Right.
He just would clarify what he's saying about the Kore and the Ola. Okay? In other words, Rabbeinu Tam accuses Rabbeinu Mishlomo, so to speak.
Right.
He says, according to you, there should be two Korim. The fact that he accuses Rabbeinu Mishlomo, the fact that he explains Rabbeinu Mishlomo that way,
so
doesn't mean that's what Rabbeinu Mishlomo is saying.
So what's Rabbeinu
Go back to the very first shiur, right?
Yeah.
You can't make that assumption. Rabbeinu Tam says, according to Rabbeinu Mishlomo, we should have two people be covered into be blood. So, and it is a very, very simple answer to it. The very, very simple answer is that yes, in Matan Torah you have two medabrim, right? It's true that you have two medabrim. However, there's a difference between the two. Okay? Because this involves different opinions, how to exactly understand the whole issue of the Dibrot and what Bnei Yisrael heard and how they heard. And one could certainly argue, right, that what happens in Mount Har Sinai is that there are two Medabrim, but Bnei Yisrael only understand what Moshe says, at least for many Dibrot, and not what Hashem says, right? And if you say that, Rabbi Shul might say that yes, we reenact what happens in Mount Sinai. We have two medabrim, that we have a Baal Kori and we have an Ola, but only one is transmitting the content to the Tzibor, not both of them. And therefore, what you do is, and this is where I think the reading quietly comes in. In other words, that one reads, that the Ola reads quietly, representing Hashem, you know, articulating but not being audible to the audience. And the Kore is the one that actually is Mashmiya Tzatzibo, what's actually being said.
Such a nice idea.
And if I add just one more thing to it, if that's the case, right, if that's the case, it's a beautiful pshat in Rabbi Mishlomo, that's a beautiful, beautiful pshat. I'm not saying we can't explain it with Rabbi Tam as the basis for Rabbi Tam also, but And the Shulam's Pshat and the Gemara is beautiful because what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that, I'd like to just read the slides on the page. Let me read the Gemara to you in 1 second. The Gemara about the Shemana Pesukim. Right, so the Gemara about the Master says like this. But I'll read you 1 second. What does the Gemara say? So, Gemara says like this. You say the implication being that bisman hazeh, that they would. Okay, here. Where are you exactly?
It's the third line, like at the end of the line.
In which no side? I see. Okay. I think that there are two possibilities. First of all, I'm not sure that necessarily this is pure Aveda Tam. But even if it is, it's something to look into, but even let's say that it is, I think the point is that if it could well be that for the Aveda Tam will say that the Ola will also read, but quietly, I don't think that. But the point is that his function of the function of Baal Koreh is nonetheless to read on behalf of the. You know, I don't think that fundamentally changes the issue. But
my original question, like, if the Baal Koreh is being like, you would see the Ola and like his cues to like record the Torah, so everyone compares. Like, what is the Ola doing reading also? Like, why can't he just be quiet?
I'm not sure that he can, that's, you know, but I think that nonetheless, I think the basic point is I don't think that fundamentally changed it. But I want to go back to Rabbi Shalom for a moment. The Gemara Babatra Tetvav, listen to the Gemara now, the original Gemara that they're commenting on. I apologize for not putting it on the sheet, but let's listen to it now for just a second, okay, because I think it's fascinating, at least in terms of one part of the sugya, it just works so beautifully for Rabbi Shalom. Amar Mar, Yoshua Katav Sifro Ushmana Pesukim Shibatar. Okay, the original Brites of the Gemara talks about, you know, who wrote different things, and says that Yoshua wrote Sefer Yoshua and the last eight Pesukim of Chumash. Tani Kamanda Amar Shmana Pesukim Shibatar Yoshua Katav. Okay, so that falls Machloket Tanam. That falls opinion that Yoshua wrote those Pesukim. Titanya Vayamat Sham Moshe Eben Hashem. Esher Moshe made the Katav by Yamasha Moshe, Ella Kan Katav Moshe, Mikan Be'elah Katav Yoshua, Divrei Rabbi Yoshua, for Amrila Rabbi Nechem. Okay, Amrila Rabbi Shimon, Esher Sefer Torah Chaser Od Achad, Uktiv, Lakoch, Sefer HaTorah Hazeh, Ella Adkan Kosh Baruch Hu Omer, Umoshe Omer Bekotev, Mikan Be'elah Kosh Baruch Hu Omer, Umoshe Kotev Bedema, Mo, Shanema, Lalan, etc., etc. Okay? So, this a whole literature on this, these few lines of Gemara, clearly. But Rabbi Amos Shulam has a beautiful pshat, right? If we take Rabbi Shimon's position, that what's the difference between the last eight psukim and everything else? Because everything else, right, it says that Akash Baruch Omer Umoshe Omer Vakotek. But these last eight psukim, right? Hakash Baruch Hu Omer Umoshe Kotev. Umoshe Kotev down. But it's that so there aren't two Omrim, right? So there's only one Omer. But by everything else, there are two Omrim, right? But two Omrim again. When we talk about Mamre Har Sinai, we talk about the process of writing the Torah. Right? Most the Amira. Yeah, I said it one way before. Let's say it differently. You know, in terms of that Hashem. And Moshe being Omer, the roles are not the same. The Amira is not the same necessarily. Even when you have two Amirot, not necessarily the same type of Amira. And it could be that, you know, that. My point is, again, I don't know exactly how Rabbi Mishlom would formulate it, because there are different possibilities. But what I think Rabbi Mishlom would basically say is that, granted, I think that there are two Korim, but not in the same sense. And therefore, even according to the way I'm explaining it, right? We could say that one is reading out loud and one is reading quiet. Okay, so now you have a few loose ends, but I think that we saw some important and interesting things nonetheless. Okay, when we want to cover Rabbi Yehuda, it's okay. We want to cover Rabbi Yehuda. We have a very, very fundamental sugya here, fascinating sugya here, and we have a very wild Rambam that we need to look at in the context of, amongst other things. There's a lot to discuss here, but a lot, especially when we see, I think this Gemara is fundamental to quite a bit, according to the Rambam, certainly, and other Rishonim, it's a very, very basic Gemara. But I don't mean basic in the sense of simple, but basic in the sense of fundamental. And we will see more about that as we go. So, right, so again, cover the field. There's a lot to discuss. We're not going to discuss every facet of it. There are just so many. But particularly when we try to understand why the Rambam says what he does, why the Beit Yosef says what he does, both of which are interesting questions. And Hashem, really fascinating circuit. We'll enjoy it.
Okay, so nowadays, should I go to the Rambam Fireball? Can you do that
one? So, the base bottom line is, I think that